translation, the personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Is everything all right? Can everybody hear? So, should we repeat? Please repeat after me. The personality of Godhead replied.
The personality of Godhead replied.
The renunciation of work.
The renunciation of work.
And work in devotion.
And work in devotion.
Are both good for liberation.
Are both good for liberation.
But of the two, work in devotional service, is better than renunciation of work.
Is better than renunciation of work.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, fruitive activities seeking sense gratification are cause for material bondage. As long as one is engaged in activities aimed in improving the standard of bodily comfort, one is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing material bondage perpetually. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4-6 confirm this as follows. Nunam pramatto kurute vikarma jat indriya pritayo aprinati na sadhu manne jato atmano yam asannopi kleshada asadeha parabhavas tavad abodha jato javan nan jiggashato atma tattam javat kriyas tavad idam mano bhai karmatmakam jena sharira bandha evam mano karma basam prayunte avidyayatmano upadiyamane pritir na javan mai vasudeve na muchyate deha yogena tavat. People are mad after sense gratification, and they do not know that this present body, which is full of miseries, is a result of one's fruitive activities in the past. Although this body is temporary, it is always giving one trouble in many ways. Therefore, to act for sense gratification is not good. One is considered to be a failure in life as long as he makes no inquiry about his real identity. As long as he does not know his real identity, he has to work for fruitive results for sense gratification. And as long as one is engrossed in the consciousness of sense gratification, one has to transmigrate from one body to another. Although the mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities and influenced by ignorance, one must develop love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then can one have the opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence. Therefore, jnana, or knowledge that one is not this material body, but spirit soul, is not sufficient for liberation. One has to act in the status of spiritual soul, or rather, status of spirit soul. Otherwise, there is no escape from material bondage. Action in Krishna consciousness is not, however, action on the fruitive platform. Activities performed in full knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of fruitive activities does not actually purify the heart of a conditioned soul. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on the fruitive platform. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action so that one need not descend to the material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails the risk of falling. Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete, as is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-258. Prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhina vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgukathate. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Renunciation is complete when it is in knowledge that everything in existence belongs to the Lord and that no one should claim proprietorship over anything. One should understand that, factually, nothing belongs to anyone. Then, where is the question of renunciation? One who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation. Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school. Sannyasa karma yogyascha nishreyasya karabubhau tayastu karma sannyasat karma yogo visishyate. Can everyone hear the translation? Does everyone hear the translation? No problem? Good. So, it's a very nice shloka. Krishna himself is answering Arjuna's question. Does everybody remember what was Arjuna's question? Was it discussed yesterday in Bhagavad Gita class? No?
I don't have.
Oh, I see. Anyway, so in that case I should read the... Arjuna asked in the beginning of this chapter, fifth chapter, Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? See, previous to that, in the third chapter and fourth chapter, Krishna told Arjuna that acting on behalf of Krishna, acting for the satisfaction of Krishna, is very good. Acting for the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Karma Yoga is very good for elevating oneself to the spiritual platform. And then Krishna also explained to Arjuna that renunciation of work is very good. So Arjuna here is quite confused, because at one time Krishna is telling that you act without expecting any result or expecting any reward. And now at the next moment you are saying that you must renounce all your work. So what actually you mean? At one time you are telling me to renounce work, and next moment you are asking me to get involved in activities. So in reply to that question of Arjuna, Krishna is telling that the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. So Krishna told about both the things, renunciation and action in Krishna consciousness. And then finally Krishna is telling that out of these two, rendering devotional service for the sake of Krishna's satisfaction is better. Because although both lead one to liberation, but the process of devotional service is better than renunciation. And that has been very elaborately explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, why it is better. Why action in Krishna consciousness is better than renunciation. Regarding that, I remember one story Prabhupada, one example Prabhupada gave once. Prabhupada said that there are three types of people. That one type of people is... Prabhupada actually put it in a different way. If you put a bag of gold or a bag of money in the middle of the road, or say a bag of money is lying on the middle of the road, then one man comes and sees the bag of money lying there. So he just picks up the bag and he walks away with it. And he uses the money for his sense gratification. Now in this world, most of the people are like that, right? Then there is another kind of people, though, who will see that the bag of money is lying there on the middle of the road, and he would know that since he knows that this is not his money, the money belongs to somebody else, so he does not take the money. He lets the, although he sees that the bag of money is lying there, but he does not pick it up and use it for his sense enjoyment. So he just leaves it. And then there's another kind of person who would see that that bag of money is lying there, and seeing that, he would pick up that bag and he would open the bag and see if the address of the owner of that money is there, and then he would give it back to the person who it belongs to. Now, out of these three kind of people, who is the best? The third one. Because he gives it back to the right proprietor. Then after him is the second one, right, who does not take it himself, knowing that it doesn't belong to him. And the third class is the one who picks it up and uses it for his sense gratification. Now, the karmis are the third class people. Actually, they are using somebody else's property for his sense gratification or for their sense gratification. Everything actually belongs to Krishna. In this material nature, nothing belongs to us. Can you really claim that something belongs to us in this nature? Even our body doesn't belong to us. This body, the elements with which the body has been created, those elements don't actually belong to us. They belong to the nature. So when the moment you leave the body, this body begins to rot. Right? And ultimately it goes back to the elements that the body was made of. So, but unfortunately these people, the people, those who are trying to enjoy the material nature, they are not aware who it belongs to, and they simply think that everything belongs to himself, rather themselves, and they try to utilize others' properties for their sense gratification. And, or on the street, and he walks away. Now that's this second class is the renunciate. A person who knows that in this material nature nothing belongs to him. And he does not accept anything for himself. And so that is a sannyasi or a renunciate. A person who renounces knowing that nothing belongs to him. But even better than these renunciates, actually these renunciates are better than the karmis, the thieves, those who are trying to steal God's property and use them for their sense gratification. So better than them are the renunciates. But even better than the renunciates are the people, those who know that everything belongs to Krishna and they offer everything back to Krishna. Whoever the money belongs to, it must be given back to him. And that is the real honesty. Now devotees fall in that category where they know that everything belongs to Krishna, and that's why they try to use everything in Krishna's service. So that has been explained here. Krishna is explaining to Arjuna here that how devotional service is actually the best kind of activity that one can be engaged in. And that has also been very wonderfully explained by Rupa Goswami by two shlokas. Out of these two shlokas, one has been mentioned here. প্রাপঞ্চিকা তয়া বুদ্ধা হরিসম্বন্ধী বস্তু না মুমুক্ষুভি পরিত্যাগ বৈরাগ্যম ফলগু পার্থতে। বৈরাগ্য মিন্স রিনান্সিয়েশন। নাও ইফ if someone thinks that all the objects in this material nature are material and that's why everything is a cause of bondage in the material nature, thinking that and desiring to be liberated from this material bondage, if one rejects all these objects of the material nature, that is a false renunciation. বৈরাগ্যং ফলগু কথ্যতে। ফলগু মিন্স ফলস এন্ড বৈরাগ্য মিন্স রিনান্সিয়েশন। ইটস এ ফলস রিনান্সিয়েশন। ইফ সামবডি সেজ দ্যাট ওয়েল আই এভরিথিং ইন দ্য ম্যাটেরিয়াল নেচার ইজ এ কজ অফ বন্ডেজ, সো আই ডোন্ট ওয়ান্ট টু বিকাম বাউন্ড, আই ওয়ান্ট টু বিকাম লিবারেটেড, আই ওয়ান্ট টু বি ফ্রি ফ্রম অল দিস ম্যাটেরিয়াল বন্ডেজ, সো আই ওয়ান্ট ইউজ এনিথিং ফ্রম দিস ম্যাটেরিয়াল নেচার। So there are kind of people, those who try to do that. But Rupa Goswami rejected that. He says that's a false renunciation. Why? That he explained in a different shloka, where he says, Anashaktasya Vishayan Jatharham Upayunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyamuchyate. Anashaktasya Vishayan, becoming detached from all material attachments, jatharham upajunjate, accepts whatever is necessary, whatever is needed, and how? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, in relationship with Krishna, that is yukta vairagyam uchyate, that is renunciation in a positive sense. Because that kind of renunciation, that to renounce everything, is actually artificial. That's why Rupa Goswami said that is phalgu, that is artificial renunciation. How long? What? First of all, what can you renounce? That's what Prabhupada is telling in the purport. So when nothing belongs to you, how can you renounce it? In order to renounce something, first of all, you have to have it yourself. If something doesn't belong to you, then how can you renounce it? So these Mayavadis or impersonalists, those who do not have the proper knowledge about the personality of the Supreme Lord, and those who are not aware of the fact that everything belongs to the Lord, they try to renounce everything. But the question here arises that how can you renounce something that does not belong to you? Like, for instance, a person who is working in a bank, and he's the cashier of the bank. In the bank, he's always counting money. Now, if he says, "Well, now from today onward, I'm going to renounce all this money. I'll stop counting money." Now, can he possibly renounce it? First of all, this money doesn't belong to him. So, how can he renounce that money? The money belongs to the bank and he is just an employee. So if he says that, "Well, I will stop counting money, I won't touch money anymore," then what happens? Then the employer will become very unhappy with him and will say, "Okay, so you are sacked. You won't have to come to the bank anymore. What's the use of your coming to the bank if you're not going to do the service for me? If you don't want to do the work, then fine, you try and do something else. You fend for yourself. Right? You don't need to come to the bank and you won't get any money also at the end of the week." Right? So, this kind of renunciation is like this bank account, the cashier or the accountants renouncing the money of the bank. So that's why the positive renunciation, Rupa Goswami pointed out, is prapanchikata anashaktasya vishayan. Like, let us consider the condition of this accountant of this bank, or the cashier of the bank, rather. Like, he, anashaktushya vishayan, becoming detached from all kinds of attachments. Because first of all, he has to understand that this money that I am counting and giving out against the checks, this money doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to the bank. So I cannot possibly afford to become attached to this money. Right? So that is the first mood that he has to develop. Anashakta shruti shayan. And jatharam upajinjate. Use everything or use whatever is needed. Jatharam upajinjate. And how nirbandho Krishna sambandhe. In relationship with Krishna. Like if somebody, say for him to give that same example with a bank account, a bank cashier. Like if somebody comes and gives him a check, he writes a check and then he checks out the ledger and he sees that that man has that kind of money in the bank. So he counts the money and gives it back to him, gives it to him. So that is Krishna Sambandhe. Like here, of course, it is in the bank Sambandhe, in relationship with the bank, right? The man has the money in the bank. So when he gives a check, then the cashier has to pay him the money. Now if the cashier thinks, oh well, so here, come, I'm giving you 10,000 francs. Can the cashier say that? I am giving you the money? No. The cashier rather humbly says, oh sir, here is the money against your check. Right? So he is here acting as a representative of the bank. The money belongs to the bank and he acts as a representative or an employee of the bank and he offers the money to the customer or client. So that is what a devotee does. Devotee does everything in relationship with Krishna consciousness. First of all, he knows that nothing actually belongs to him. And then, knowing that nothing belongs to him, he does not really reject everything. He says, no, since nothing belongs to me, I don't care about anything else. No. He knows who everything belongs to. And he also knows that he is a humble servant of that supreme proprietor. And knowing that, he renders his service unto the Lord. So he accepts whatever is needed for the service of the Lord or for the necessity of this nature around him, because that is also Lord's property. And nirbandho Krishna sambandhe, when he renders service or accepts or rejects in relationship with Krishna, then that is called Jukta Vairagya or renunciation in attachment. Apparently a devotee may appear to be attached. Like sometimes, oftentimes people can't understand like why we are leading a life like this. People question, why are you doing this? Why are you living in big houses? Why do you have such an opulent farm? Or why are you driving cars? Why are you using computers? Why are you using videos? And so forth. So the people do question like that. But our understanding is that we are using Krishna's things for Krishna's service. Actually, whatever we are using, we are not using them for our sense enjoyment. At least, theoretically, we don't do that. We don't use anything for, or at least we should not use anything for our sense gratification. We must use everything in Krishna's service. And since everything belongs to Krishna, we must learn how to use everything in Krishna's service. And everything can be used in Krishna's service. So that is an art that the devotee masters. And when we do that, we see that the result is automatically very, very wonderful. Sometimes some people may criticize, but there are many other people, those who really appreciate. Like, I'm sure the people around this area appreciate us because they see that we are doing something constructive. We didn't become a bunch of hippies or a punks, right? But instead of that, we are very positively utilizing our abilities in productivity, in absolute productivity. We picked up the farm and we are farming this, we are protecting cows, we are having milk from the cows. We are leading a very healthy life. And people notice that. The same thing with the German farm. In the beginning, the people in the neighboring villages were very apprehensive. They were very paranoid, actually. They were very afraid that these people, I mean, who are these guys? And they also started thinking that we are the worshippers of some demons. They could understand what Lord Nrisimhadev's deity was. And there was a big propaganda by the neighboring churches that we are worshipping some kind of demon. But little do they know that we are worshipping the Lord who is the destroyer, who is the killer of the demon, and that in that form, the Lord is actually annihilating the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu. So they got the whole thing completely upside down. But then gradually, now they are becoming more and more favorable. They see that how we are working hard, we are building some nice houses there, barn houses, barns, and we are farming lands, and the devotees work very hard from morning till night. We get up very early in the morning. Same thing with Gita Nagari. In the Gita Nagari, the people from the neighborhood, they just love us. They can see that when in America all the farms are going down, all the farms are running at a loss and they're just closing down, our farm is flourishing more and more. And they see that our cows are the best. Actually, in that area, our cows are the best cows. And just recently, our cows won a prize. Got the first prize of best milking and the most sensitive cow. And this way we can see that the people appreciate us. But why they're doing that? Why do they appreciate us? Because they see that we are positively engaged. Now, what does this positively engaged mean? That we are utilizing our abilities to render devotional service to the Lord. So although they do not understand what this devotional service to the Lord means, but still they appreciate our productivity. But if we were just a bunch of so-called renunciates who are actually nothing but some kind of bums, they leave everything and just keep on wandering around, that would have been, then people would not have appreciated us the way they are doing it now. So, generally, of course, at a certain point of time one has to become renounced. Renounced in the sense, before one takes to devotional service, one has to give up all material attachments. And as a matter of fact, knowingly or unknowingly, most of the devotees pass that stage. They either became totally disgusted with materialistic life, they have rejected all their materialistic values, they accepted a life, a rather simple life, revolting against the social structure. They were, at that time, of course, they were branded as hippies. But that was a kind of renunciation. They rejected the material, all material values, because all these material values do not really lead anyone to any point. In late 60s, in 60s and 70s, it was very prevalent all over America and Europe. And so, before coming to the movement, most of the devotees were actually renounced. They renounced all material attachments. And then they came to Krishna consciousness. And when they came to Krishna consciousness, they got the real meaning of their renunciation. Like, unless and until they came to Krishna consciousness, their renunciation wouldn't have been complete. Like, they rejected or renounced everything for the time being, but if they didn't get something positive to hold on to, then that renunciation cannot be complete. You may reject something, but if you do not have something positive to accept, then that renunciation is not complete. And so the ones, those who renounced before and came to Krishna consciousness, yes, we can understand them. Another kind, another group of devotees are the ones, those who came to Krishna consciousness or came in contact with Krishna consciousness, and then they rejected everything, they've given up all their material attachments and stepped into Krishna consciousness. So, just coming to Krishna consciousness itself is founded on the platform of renunciation. One renounces, one gives up the material life and steps into the spiritual life. So, this we can very easily understand through a graph. Like in the graph you see the axis, the zero. On the left hand side of the axis is negative, minus, and on the right hand side of the graph is positive. Right? Now material life is the left hand side of the graph, right? Negative side of the graph. Right? And zero is the point of renunciation, right? Where you do not have any more material attachments. When you do not have any more minus in your account. And then crossing that zero, you come to the right hand side. And that is the positive side of the thing. That is the spiritual platform. So there is the negative material nature, the positive spiritual nature, and the line that is separating from the negative from the positive, that is the line of neutrality. Neutral. It's neither positive nor negative. It's zero. Right? But just to be zero is not enough. When you have a lot of loan in the market, when you have a lot of debts in the market, then it is nice to be zero. Right? You owe people 100,000 francs. It's a big headache. People are always coming and pushing you. They may even take you to the court and so on and so forth. Then you are very worried, how am I going to square up this debt? Then you are just absolutely obsessed with how you are going to become zero. Right? But then when you square up all your debts, right, then you do not have any more debts in the market. You have squared up this 100,000 francs that you owed to different people. Then you feel some kind of satisfaction that now it is squared up. But that is not the end of your goal. That is not the goal. You are not fully satisfied just being zero. If you don't have any money in your pocket, how will you feel? Will you feel good? If you don't have anything in your pocket, you'll never feel good. You'll be in great anxiety. Where shall I pay my rent? How shall I buy some food? And so on and so forth. Right? So, just to be zero or just to come to the point of neutrality is not enough. After that, you want to acquire in the positive account, you want to keep money in the bank, right? And as you put money in the bank, then you are positive. From zero, then you move on to the positive direction. You have 1,000 francs in the account, then 10,000 francs, 100,000 francs, 1,000,000 francs, right? The more you have, the better off you are, right? So in the material nature, we are in the negative side. The more involved we get in the material side, we may think, oh, we have become, or one may think that, oh, he has made so much progress, right? But that progress is actually negative, right? If somebody has -1,000 and if somebody has -20,000, who is better off? Although it seems that 20,000 is greater than 1,000, but what is better, -1,000 or -20,000? Who will answer the question? Guru Shakti?
-1,000.
-1,000 is better, right. So actually in the material direction, the less involved we are, is better for us, right? But apparently somebody may think that, oh, he is so better off, he has 1,000,000, right? Apparently one may think that he has 1,000,000. But if we think deeply, if we understand properly, then we'll actually realize he actually has -1,000,000, right? And in order to come to neutrality, the point of zero, he'll have to square up this minus, or he has to get rid of that -1,000,000. Now, for whom it is easier to come to the point of neutrality? For a person who has 1,000 franc debt in the market, or for a person who has 1,000,000 francs debt in the market? The one who has 1,000. Of course, it depends on how quickly one can get rid of his debts. Somebody may have a debt of 20,000,000, but he may just square it up in a very short time. Right? But somebody may have 2 francs debt in the market, and he may not even square it up in his whole life. So that way there are, it depends how quickly one can get rid of his debts. Like, that's why Prabhupada often used to say that Krishna doesn't see how much you have given him. Krishna doesn't actually see how much you have given him. Now what does Krishna see? Yeah, how much you have kept for yourself. So how much you have kept for yourself, that's what Krishna sees, not how much you have given him. Right? So if a man has got 100 francs, and if he gives all 100 francs to Krishna, then his offering is greater than a person who has 20,000,000 francs and he gives 10,000,000 francs to Krishna. Right? Although 10,000,000 francs is numerically, or in volume, 10,000,000 francs is much more than 100 francs. Right? But in Krishna's account, this 100 franc is much more than 10,000,000 francs. Because Krishna doesn't see how much you gave him, but Krishna sees how much you kept for ourselves. So now, when we have given everything up that we had in material platform, then that is the point of zero. Then we do not have any more debts. We have cleared up all the debts. No more minus, right? Then we begin to add in our bank account, right? And that is the positive account. Now, to come to that platform of zero is the process of renunciation. We renounce everything and come to the point of zero. But as we keep rendering service to Krishna, that takes us more and more towards the positive direction. So that's why Krishna is telling here that rendering service in Krishna consciousness is better than renunciation. Although both are good, but Krishna consciousness is better. Why? Because Krishna consciousness actually begins from the platform of renunciation. That's why Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhutesu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Devotional service actually, Madbhaktim, devotional service begins from the point of Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. And what is the Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma platform? What is the Brahma Bhuta platform? Gaur Lila? Right. Yeah. So Brahma Bhuta platform actually means the platform when you realize that we are not material, but we are spiritual. Right? Now we are thinking that we are material. This body is mine. This body is me. And the pleasures and pain of this body gives us joy and misery. When the body is enjoying, then we feel, oh, how happy we are. And when the body is suffering, then we think, oh, how miserable I am. Right? So this is called Dehatma Buddhi. I'm identifying the body to be the self. In a material platform, everyone is thinking that way. Everyone is thinking that his body is his self. And everyone is ultimately thinking that he is matter. But when one wakes up from this ignorance and realizes himself to be a spirit soul, Brahma actually means spirit. So Brahma Bhuta, when one is spiritually, when one is situated in a spiritual platform and recognizes himself as a spirit, not the body, then he becomes completely satisfied. Then, na sochati, na kangshati. Then he does not lament, nor does he hanker. He doesn't hanker for the things that he doesn't have, and he doesn't lament for something that he has lost. Whereas in the material platform, everyone is constantly either lamenting or hankering. Everyone is hankering, hankering after the things that he doesn't have. Everyone is thinking, oh, I don't have enough money. If I had enough money, then I could have done this things. Or he is lamenting, oh, I had so much money, or I was so strong when I was young, or I was so beautiful when I was young. Now I've become an old man and my strength is gone, my beauty is gone, nobody even looks at me. So either he is lamenting or he is hankering. And that is the material condition. But when one realizes himself as a spirit soul, then he neither laments nor does he hanker for anything. And then sama sarveshu bhuteshu, he becomes equipoised to everyone and everything. Why? Because then he doesn't make the discrimination on the bodily platform. He sees everyone as a spirit soul. And since he sees everyone as a spirit soul, in his vision, everyone is equal. He doesn't see the difference between an old man or a young man. He doesn't see the difference between a man and a woman, or an animal, or a bird. That Krishna explains very nicely in one shloka. Who knows the shloka? Brahmane gobi hastini Suni chaiva shapakecha pandita samadarshina. You remember? What is the meaning of the shloka? The vidya vina sampanne brahmane gobi hastini suni chaiva shapakecha pandita samadarshina. Pandita means a wise man. A person who is wise, and he in his vision, a Brahmin qualified with all qualifications, a humble and wise Brahmin, gobi, a cow, hastini, an elephant, suni, a dog, and sapakecha, and a dog eater or a chandala. Samadarshana. He sees all these in the same vision. In his eyes, there's no difference between a dog and a Brahmin. There's no difference between an elephant and a chandala, or a Brahmin or a chandala, so on and so forth. Because these discriminations are material. But when one is situated on the spiritual platform, then he doesn't see this discrimination. Because he knows that this is only the outer covering. Inside, the personality is the same. Like when you go out wearing trousers and jacket, and then when you change yourself into a saffron dhoti and a kurta, although your outer garment has changed, but does it change you, the person? No. The same way, this body is actually a covering to the spirit soul, a garment of the spirit soul. So sometimes the spirit soul wears the garment of a dog's body. Sometimes the spirit soul wears a cow's body. Some other time a spirit soul wears an elephant's body. Sometimes the spirit soul wears the Brahmin's body, and sometimes the spirit soul wears the chandala's body. So although the spirit is wearing different bodies, but spirit in its constitutional position is the same personality. So the way, due to our different garments, we do not change, the same way, due to changing our bodies also, we do not change. So a person who is situated in that Brahma-Bhuta platform, in the spiritual platform, he sees everything with an equal vision. And sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktin labhate param. At that point, at that platform, one begins to develop devotional service. Actually, devotional service begins when we are situated in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, not otherwise. Like graphically, we can see that from negative, say we have debts in the market, say 10,000 francs. So as long as we have debts in the market, we cannot have any positive account, right? So if you have debts in the market of 10,000 francs, and in your bank you put 6,000 francs, do you really have any money actually? No. Right? You are still minus 4,000. Right? But when you have become zero, squared up all your debts, then only you can afford to put money in the bank. And then only there will be plus in your account, not otherwise. So we become devotees, and that is the plus region. The spiritual platform is the positive platform. And in that positive platform, whatever we have in our account is eternal. Krishna, Rupa Goswami reminded that whatever one does in Krishna consciousness whatever one does in the spiritual platform always remains in his credit. There is no loss or diminution of devotional service. If you have rendered devotional service, no matter to whatever extent, but whatever you have done, it's going to be there always in your account. Our ultimate goal in the spiritual life is to go back to Krishna. Now, in this life, if we do little bit of service, if we render little bit of service, and we make some progress, maybe we won't be able to go back to Godhead in this life. But whatever we have done in this life for the sake of Krishna, whatever service we have rendered for Krishna, remains in our credit. And then in our next life, when we begin from the point where we ended. Like, say, our goal is to go to the roof, right? To go back to Vrindavan, right? Now, in this life, we begin to render devotional service. But we cannot complete. In this life, we do not go back to Godhead. Then, say, in this life, we make this much progress, right? So, in our next life, when we'll begin, we won't have to start from here. We will start from where we ended in this life. And we'll carry on till the time we reach the ultimate goal. So, in spiritual platform, there is no loss or there is no diminution. Whereas in the material platform, whatever we do is finished with our body. As soon as the body is finished, whatever we have done in the material platform is also finished. Like in this life, say you have worked very hard and you got a big degree for yourself, you have become a PhD and so on and so forth. So as long as you have the body, you have your PhD at the end of your name. Dr. So-and-so, PhD, right? But the moment you die, your PhD title also is gone with the body. And in your next life, if you come back and claim that, well, in my last life I have done PhD from Harvard, so this time I should be considered as a PhD also, then everybody will think that you have gone crazy. Right? Or in this life you have made millions of dollars and you have put it in the bank, and then when you die, and you come back again, and say you got a human body, and you come back, and but if you claim that, well, in my last life I put the money in your account, so now please give me that money, the bank will not give it. Probably they will call the police and ask you to take you to the lunatic asylum. But in the spiritual platform, whatever we do, it always remains, because the spirit never dies. The spirit soul never dies. And then on top of that, the spiritual account is actually kept by Krishna. So Krishna never forgets. Right? So whatever you do for Krishna, Krishna always remembers and he rewards you for that. That's why intelligent people should always render devotional service to Krishna. Another very important thing to remember in this respect is that when we render some devotional service to Krishna, no matter how insignificant the service you have rendered, one thing is guaranteed, that we'll get a human body in the next life. Just by rendering little devotional service to Krishna, one is guaranteed to have a human body. Whereas if one does not render service to Krishna, then of course he will get another body after he dies, but there is no guarantee that he will get a human body. Actually, in most cases they will get animal body or bird body or insect body or tree body. Because if one acts like an animal, then the nature will reward him with an animal body. So, it is very important that one acts on the spiritual platform. That means one acts in Krishna consciousness. Regarding this also, Prabhupada gave an example through a story. Prabhupada said that a man, he rendered a little bit of service. Just a very little bit of service. The devotees came to him and maybe he just bought a book from him. Right? Just because he bought a book, so he acquired some transcendental piety, sukriti. All his life, he had been doing all kinds of nonsense activities. He was very, very simple. So after he died, he was taken to Jamaraj, So Jamaraj told him that, look, all your life you have done so many sinful activities, but you have done one good activity because you bought a book on Krishna consciousness. So for this transcendental activity of yours, for this pious activity that you have rendered, you will be rewarded with some good results. But for your sinful activities, you have to suffer. Now, which one do you want to take first? You want to take the results of your sinful activities, or you want to take the result of your Krishna conscious activity? So this man was quite intelligent. So he said, well, I want to take the result of Krishna conscious activity. So Jamaraj said, okay, so he'll get a human body. And this man, he remembered, and he felt that just by doing one good thing in Krishna consciousness, I have got this wonderful opportunity of getting a human birth. So now I'm not going to make any more mistake. I'll use this birth for my Krishna consciousness, right? And so he became a devotee, right? So this way, just by doing one good thing in Krishna consciousness, he went back to Godhead by, in due course of time. So that shows that how important it is that one becomes a devotee. And when one becomes a devotee, he feels it also himself, that this is the best thing that he could ever have done. Like I feel, so often I feel that my life was just useless before I became a devotee. But now my life has become meaningful. Whatever I do brings me so much joy. Whereas previously, whatever I did, I was feeling terrible, no matter whatever I was doing. It was, and I'm sure, I mean, you're laughing, and same thing was with you also. Right, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, it was with everyone. Like, we're totally depressed, totally frustrated. But is anyone feeling, does anyone feel bored ever since you joined Krishna consciousness? Raise your hand, who feels bored? Is it that anyone is ashamed to do that? No. It's so wonderful to be a devotee. And on top of everything, where can I get such a wonderful association? I always valued my association before, and I was always very disappointed. You used to see that I wanted to be with best of the people, and they all turned out to be the worst of all. But ever since I became a devotee, I felt that Krishna fulfilled my desire finally. Krishna made me associate with the best people in the world. Because unless and until one is very, very high class, he cannot become a devotee. Maybe in the material, according to the material point of view, they may not be high class. They may not be very wealthy or very educated or so and so forth, or very cultured. But unless and until one is a very high class, intellectually and spiritually, one cannot actually become a devotee. Unless and until one's heart is not pure, one cannot become a devotee. And that is what we want. We want to be in a pure association. We want to be with the people, those who are honest and dignified. And devotees are the most honest and most dignified people. Whereas in the material platform, most of the people are actually a bunch of crooks, knowingly or unknowingly. They may not admit it, but when you look at it from the devotional perspective, you can see that actually everyone is a crook. Because everyone is stealing Krishna's properties for their sense gratification. So that's why it is very, very important to become aware of these points and become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. And how does one become fixed up in Krishna consciousness? Just by staying in the temple and rendering some service? No. The best way to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness is by preaching to others. We must convey our realizations to others. We must not keep it in ourselves as a miser. Exactly that word has been used. A miser, kripana. A person who receives the wonderful benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but does not distribute it to the others, he is considered to be a miser. Because we have got such a wonderful thing, the most precious thing in this world. Then shouldn't you go out and give it to others? Because everybody needs it. So it's very important that we take up this spirit of preaching. Like when I was in Austria, devotees were complaining. Not complaining, they were lamenting that not enough people are joining the movement. They have so much to do, but they have only 24 devotees. So I told them that if every devotee makes it a point to make 2 devotees in a year, then at the end of the next year, we will have 72 devotees instead of 24 devotees. And it's not actually very difficult to make 2 devotees. If everybody goes out and preaches at least 1 hour a day, or cultivates people, I'm sure he'll be able to make at least 2 devotees out of 365 days of preaching. Can't we make 2 devotees each person? At least we should try. And this is how Krishna consciousness should expand. Prabhupada's policy was double it. If this year you have 24 devotees, next year you must make 48 devotees. So 48 plus 24 is 72. Right? Same thing with books. Mainly Prabhupada put the emphasis, most emphasis was on books and preaching. Our book distribution should double and our number of devotees should double also. If you can't make at least 72, at least make one. If you can't make 2, then at least make 1 devotee a year. Even that will make 48 from 24. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
You brought the example of the man who has 100 francs and gives everything to Krishna, and one who has 20 minutes. My question is he who gives 10 millions to Krishna not in a superior position because he has 20 millions because of his past pious activities? Therefore, he can offer more to Krishna than the other one.
No, Krishna doesn't care about your pious activities. Right? Because, Krishna simply sees how much you want him. Right? A person who has 100 francs and gives all 100 francs to Krishna, that means he wants Krishna fully. He doesn't have any other attachment but Krishna. Right? But a person who has given 50% of his income, then he actually has given 50%, or rather he actually wants 50% of Krishna and 50% of Maya. Right?
If I think about myself, for example, if I would be in the position of having 20 million, francs, it's much more difficult to do that than if one has only 100 francs.
Yeah. The thing is, we have to understand here that Krishna doesn't really care for how much money we give him. Now, can you imagine Lakshmi Sahasra Shato Sambrama Shadbhamana? Right? Hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis are worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. Right? And one Lakshmi Devi is the in charge of all the opulence of one universe, right? And such, you know, millions of Lakshmis are rendering service to Krishna. So does Krishna need any money from us? Right? And also in spiritual sky, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Lakshabhitesu Surabhira Vipalayanta. In the spiritual sky, the land is made out of touchstones. Right? Touchstone, just by touching that stone with a metal, will immediately turn into gold. Right? So the land of Vrindavan is made of such touchstone. Right? If you get one touchstone, then you'll become the richest man of this planet. Right? And Vrindavan is made of that touchstone. Then the forest of Vrindavan is actually made of Kalpa Vrikshas. All the trees of Vrindavan are Kalpa Vrikshas, desire trees. And you can go to the Kalpa Vriksha and ask. And whatever you'll ask, you'll immediately get that. Right? And the cows of Vrindavan are Sulabhi cows. They can produce anything that you want. Right? So still do you think that Krishna needs your $1,000,000? Krishna doesn't need it, but actually you need it to offer to Krishna. Rather, you need to offer it to Krishna. Because if you do, then you become advanced. That's what I was telling, that it's actually it's actually a blessing not to have anything. Because if you don't have anything, then it's easy to offer yourself to Krishna. But a person who has a lot, for him it's very difficult. When that old Brahmin, poor Brahmin, went to Sanatana Goswami, and he was complaining that, oh, why Lord is so unkind, he didn't give me any money. So Sanatana Goswami told him, why are you blaming God for that? Actually, it's a blessing. Why don't you realize that you don't have anything, that means you don't have any attachment. And so easily you can surrender to the Lord. But this man would not listen. He said, oh, I have my daughters to get married. I have my sons to educate and I don't have any money. So what shall I do? So Sanatana Goswami said, okay, go at the back of my house and there's a garbage pile, and in the garbage pile you'll see there's a stone. That's actually a touchstone, so you can take that. So the man went and he saw there was a garbage pile at the back of Sanatana Goswami's cottage. And he saw a very wonderful looking stone there, and he could immediately understand that this must be a touchstone. Right? So he was ecstatic, he ran. Joy. Now he has become the richest man on earth, right? Just by getting the touchstone. But then he felt that what does the sadhu have that he kept this touchstone in a garbage pile? Right? So he went back to Sanatana Goswami. So he asked him, my dear sir, can you tell me what you have that made this touchstone as a junk, piece of junk or a piece of garbage? That he kept it in a garbage pile. And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I have something that actually made the touchstone into garbage. But I will give it to you only when you throw this touchstone to Jamuna. So the Brahmin was intelligent, so he went and chucked it in Jamuna and came back to Sanatana Goswami. And so Sanatana Goswami gave him Krishna consciousness.
I have another question. It's all about the Brahmabhuta platform, that if one is not on the Brahmabhuta level, then one cannot render devotional service.
No.
So I am not on the Brahmabhuta platform. So
yeah.
Does that mean this is Kamamisha Bhakti and mixed devotional service?
You can say that. It is mixed devotional service. It is actually a platform of Bodhi Bhakti. It's not so much of Karma Mishra Bhakti, but it's a Bodhi Bhakti, that is devotional service in practice. You see, you are convinced about devotional service, but because of your conditioning, you are not fully situated in that state, 100% Krishna consciousness. Right? But you are practicing to become fixed up, right? And then, in due course of time, it will happen.
So this refers to pure devotional service, this
Yes, pure devotional service. Mad bhaktim lavate param. And also rishikena rishikesha shevana bhakti vichate. When with our senses we try to give the pleasure to the lord of the senses, master of the senses, rishikesha, that is shevana bhakti vichate. That is called devotional service. Yes, sir. Now we are in the bodily platform, but still by practice we'll become perfect someday. If not in this life, it doesn't matter. In some life we will. Yeah. Once we have stepped into this path, there is no loss or no diminution. Yeah. Yeah.
Manasram system gibt es aber beim Kshatriya, wo das Erreichen im Lehrplatz auch sehr positiv sein kann. Wenn man völlig Andarisha nimmt.
Yes, but Varnashram is not pure devotional platform. Varnashram, Dharma, is more of karma yoga platform. But Ambarish Maharaj was a pure devotee because he was not identifying himself as a Kshatriya. His identity was he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was situated as a Kshatriya, but he was not. His approach towards Krishna was not like a Kshatriya. You see, in Varnashrama platform, they still are in the bodily platform. They're making the discriminations according to the body's modes. Right? But the pure devotional platform is beyond Varnashrama. Devotee may act in the Varnashrama platform. Some devotee may act like a Brahmin. Some devotee may act like a Kshatriya. But they may act like that, but they are not situated in that platform. They are situated in pure devotional platform.
One looks kind of transcendent time.
Yeah, but that's come langsam. Man ka next gira de transcendent.
Doesn't mean that even whatever you do, I mean, then it has to take some time. You can't just...
Yes, we should be patient. We should not think that overnight you'll become pure devotees. Right? On the other hand, a devotee's mood is that maybe I'll never become a pure devotee. Still doesn't matter. Let me just render whatever little service I can to Krishna. Right? Actually, we do not have the ability to make ourselves into pure devotees. It is entirely in the hands of Krishna. When Krishna wants, he will make us a pure devotee. Right? He will take us back to him. But now that I have got to know Krishna, now that I have got to know that my only business is to serve Krishna, so let me just keep rendering service to him. And as we do it, our heart becomes filled with joy. And that's what we want. Everybody wants to be joyful, right? But in other activities we have seen that we do not get that joy. But in Krishna consciousness we have seen that our heart becomes completely filled with joy. Right? So what more to expect? Right? When he got everything that he wanted, what more is there to hanker for? So that's why it is the ones, those who are not satisfied, they only want more and more. But the ones, those who have got everything, they do not really want anything. That's why Mahaprabhu is saying, janmani janmani share bhavatad bhakti rahati pitai. Mahaprabhu is not saying that let this birth be it. I don't want to be born again, right? I want to go back to you. Mahaprabhu is not saying that. Mahaprabhu is saying that life, let me have your devotional service life after life. And Mahaprabhu is actually teaching us by his behavior. Mahaprabhu is teaching us that don't bother Krishna by your desire to go, desire for liberation. Right? Don't tell Krishna that, Krishna, please take me back to you, or take me back to spiritual sky. Our thing is the marobi rakhobi jo ichha tohara. You want to keep me or you want to kill me, that's up to you. I'm just your humble servant. And I do not have any specific desire of my own.
But still we should do this. You say that it doesn't matter how much we do. But
no. We must try to do as much as we can. Right? We must use the maximum ability to render service to Krishna. Right? But we should not want to demand anything from Krishna. Now Krishna, I rendered so much service to you, now you please reward me by taking me back to Godhead. Right? That is conditional, but devotional service is unconditional. Krishna, I want to surrender service unto you because apart from that I can't think of doing anything. Right? Krishna, I simply want to render devotional service unto you because by doing that I get a tremendous joy. Right? So these are the criteria that keep us fixed up in devotional service. And there's the mood. Well, Prabhupada said that from the prema platform, when one attains the prema, from that platform one doesn't fall down. But even from bhava platform one may fall down. Like Bharat Maharaj. He attained the stage of bhava, right? But, you know, tato nishtha, ruchi, bhav, and then prem. So only when we develop that love for Krishna, the transcendental love for Krishna, and that loving reciprocation begins, in that platform we do not, from that platform one does not fall down. But until and unless we have reached that platform, we are always prone or susceptible to fall down. One may be situated on the in this platform physically, but one may internally may develop that mood, right? Like, and of course it is Golok Vrindavan, because you see loving relationship with Krishna develops in Golok Vrindavan. Of course this can also be Vaikuntha or Dwarka or Ajuntha, right? Golok of course is the highest. But one can develop that love, right? Even in the in Vaikuntha platform.
Yeah.
No, nishtha. Yeah, nishtha is that one becomes sincere in rendering service. Right? But still, he can fall down. Bhava means at that time he is actually experiencing the joy of Krishna consciousness. But still, if there is deviation, like Annabhilash, any other desire, like Bharat Maharaj, although he was experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, but he became attached to that deer, right? And because of that, he had to come back again.
And the stage of prema means that one has developed fully the spiritual body.
Not in this, actually, that spiritual body is always there. Right? Spiritual body is always there, but we are unaware of it. When we are aware of our material body, right, with our desire to enjoy, then we are forgetful of our spiritual body. Right? But when you develop a love for Krishna, then the spiritual body becomes manifest.
Like the soul is, when the soul is coming in the material world, is like a practically like a seed, and then by devotional service, by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, then this develops. I was thinking it's like this, that one develops from the spiritual body by hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna.
Yeah, there, by hearing and chanting, his devotional creeper begins to grow. Right? But his sarup becomes manifest only when that loving relationship with Krishna has developed. Right. When the loving relationship with Krishna develops, then his spiritual body becomes manifest. Actually, spiritual body is always there. Only thing is that we are not aware of it. Right? You understand my point? Say, for instance, if you are looking in that direction, can you see what is here? You can't. Right?
But I am looking.
You are looking in that direction. Right? So you cannot see what is in this side, right?
Yes.
Now, we have our consciousness, right? If the consciousness is projected externally, right, then you do not see what is there internally. When you're looking outside, then you can't see what's inside, right? You understand this point? Now, where the spirit is? Your spirit is outside or inside?
Inside.
Right. So when when you're projecting your consciousness externally, you do not see yourself who is situated internally.
But I am the one who is looking. So how can I not see myself if I am looking? I don't see. You said that one looks outside and inside, there is difference.
You do not see because you are looking outside, right? But then, when you look at Krishna, who is even inside of your inside, right? Then seeing Him, you see yourself. A Prabhupada gives another example. You see, in the dark night, you cannot see anything, right? You may even have a matchstick, right? Giving out, not even a matchstick, a little bit of, say, incense burning, giving out a little light. Now that light does not help you see anything. It actually intensifies the darkness, right? Even more, right? But then when the sun comes up, right? When the sun comes up, then with the light of the sun, you can see the sun, you can see everything around you, and you can also see yourself, right? And when the sun comes up, do you need that incense burner, incense stick that is burning a little bit? You may need it for the fragrance, not for seeing, right? So that's why we are not concerned about our consciousness. That's why we are simply concerned about Krishna consciousness, right? When you're tuned up to Krishna's consciousness, then through that consciousness, you can see everything in the right perspective. But if you try to look at things from your consciousness, then you see everything wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't understand.
Huh?
Huh? I couldn't understand.
Yeah. Yes?
You said that the spiritual body is already is it not say that the soul is a spiritual spark as it only inside.
Only when it's in the material nature. Right?
So,
because then when the spirit comes into the material nature, then he loses his spiritual identity. And it becomes, you know, like it's manifest only as a very small, minute source of consciousness. That's about all. But the form is always there. The spirit always has the form. That you may be forgetful of your form, and that form may not be functioning, right? But it is there, right? You see, necessity is the principle, right? Now, when you do not use your spiritual hand, or spiritual hands, or spiritual legs, or spiritual tongue, or spiritual head, right? And what's the use of having them? So that's why they diminish and they disappear, more or less, right?
Does that not mean that the spirit of God is mutable, changeable?
Not in that sense, but when you don't use them, then nature doesn't allow you to have them. You see, what is the use of spiritual hands? To render service to Krishna. Now, if you don't render service to Krishna, then what's the use of the hands? So nature says, you don't need the hands, so your hands disappear, right? So your legs disappear. Everything disappears and you just become minute source of consciousness. Right? But then, again, when you begin to render service to Krishna, right? Then, your spiritual hands appear, right? When you want to go somewhere to render service to Krishna, your spiritual legs appear, right? So this way your spiritual body becomes manifest by rendering service to Krishna. Another example can be given in that respect is that the spiritual forms are there, but in a material nature, that spiritual form is taken away from us. But it is there, but we do not get the chance to use them. Like the example can be given, like when a criminal is prisoned in the prison house, and when he goes in, he is asked to take off his regular clothes, right? And he has given a prison uniform, right? So with the putting on the prison uniform, he remains in the prison, right? But then when his time comes to leave the prison, then he takes off his prison uniform, puts on his normal clothes and goes out, right? So when you come to the material nature, we are given this uniform, this prison uniform, this material body, right? And as long as we remain in the material nature, we'll be with this material body. But then when our time comes,